It's deeply concerning that 80% of those underreported crises are in Africa. I'm sure, given that we are in a crisis weary world, being clearer and being more human will turn things around, and it will make a difference.
Afrika. 55 Länder. Konstruktiv und differenziert. Das ist der 55 Countries Podcast mit Julian Hilgers.
Hi und herzlich willkommen zu 55 Countries. Schön, dass ihr wieder reinhört. Ich weiß nicht, wie es euch geht, aber die ganzen schlechten Nachrichten, die vielen Krisen auf der Welt, das strengt ganz schön an. Auch ich fühle mich da oft frustriert, will die Nachrichten am liebsten ausblenden. Aber es gibt eben auch Länder und Krisen, die es erst gar nicht erst in die Nachrichten schaffen. Oder zumindest nur sehr selten. Die Hilfsorganisation CARE veröffentlicht jedes Jahr einen Report der vergessenen Krisen. Der Bericht für 2025, der ist jetzt gerade erschienen, auf der Liste 10 humanitäre Krisen mit mindestens 1 Million Betroffenen, die in internationalen Medien 2025 kaum Schlagzeilen machten. Der unrühmliche Gewinner in diesem Jahr auf Platz 1, die Zentralafrikanische Republik mit 1532 Artikeln. Es folgen Namibia, Sambia, Malawi, Honduras, Nordkorea, Angola, Burundi, Simbabwe und Madagaskar. 8 von 10 Krisen sind also auf dem afrikanischen Kontinent. Wie kann man es schaffen, für die Menschen in diesen Ländern Aufmerksamkeit zu generieren? Und das, wo sich doch gerade so viele Menschen eigentlich eher nach positiven Nachrichten sehen. Darüber habe ich mit Charlene Pelsa Ambali gesprochen. Sie ist stellvertretende Länderdirektorin von CARE in Simbabwe. Und natürlich habe ich besonders die Lage in ihrem Heimatland, also auf Platz 9 der Liste, in den Fokus gestellt. So, Zimbabwe is ranked 9th on the crisis ranking of CARE. Can you tell us what are the challenges the people are facing in Zimbabwe right now?
In Zimbabwe, we are mainly affected by climate-related crisis. So 2 seasons ago, we had one of the worst droughts that ever affected the region, Southern Africa, and that is part of Zimbabwe. So for most Zimbabweans, they rely on rain-fed agriculture. Irrigation is very limited. So what that means is that's the source of livelihood for many people. It means people don't have food, they don't even have income, they can't send their children to school, and they can't even stock additional food for the dry season, waiting for the next harvest. So that's one of the biggest things. And most farmers rely on agriculture. And it means, other livelihood opportunities are very limited. We have a very limited number of industries in Zimbabwe. Most of the things we mainly produce raw materials that are, exported to other countries. So it's really a big challenge when we look at food access and livelihood options for Zimbabweans.
So why is there such little reporting about the crisis in Zimbabwe?
The issue with, disasters like droughts, they are slow onset. They take longer to be seen. They are kind of stretched in a way. So the media mainly focuses on, those crises that are dramatic. Like, for example, if it's a flood, we know people have just been washed away today or something, they are quicker to report to that. But when this situation, evolves over a long time, then it becomes seen as normal or even just as one of the problems. So we no longer have attention on that, given that it's slow, it's complex, it's different from the sudden shocks where, a crisis has hit, a political crisis has hit, or something has happened. That's one of the reasons why you know, the reporting, it is underreported. And from, you know, reading around, we also understand that maybe international media may be focused on where, on geographies that they've their own particular interests, be they political, economic. So if there is no such interest, at times it results in underreporting of a crisis in certain geographies.
So how can we change that? So how can we like promote reporting about Zimbabwe, but also like the other forgotten crises in the world?
I think what we need to do, there are a number of things, because we know people are interested in different things. The first thing that I think we should do, maybe even for the media, is to be very clear about the messages that they are sending out. At times, you know, sending out a lot of messages does not equally, you know, get the attention. But if we have sharper, shorter messages, and we tell, you know, our audiences the action that is really needed and why it matters now, it can actually revive the interest. Why do I say this? People think there is crisis fatigue and people don't care. I don't think so. I think maybe they are overwhelmed. There's a lot out there in the media. At times they feel powerless because, you know, there's lots of information out there. Or maybe they don't even feel connected to the problem. But if we make sure that our messages are shorter and sharper and we have clear asks on what action needs to be taken, I'm sure this will turn around the situation. We get the attention that is needed. And I also think if we connect the crisis to some wider concerns, you know, how maybe that crisis can affect, you know, the region or even globally. You know, there was one time when we had a crisis in Zimbabwe, or even parts of Southern Africa, where we had fertilizer shortages, food shortages. What did that mean? It meant, you know, importing, you know, corn or grain from very far away. What does that mean in terms of global logistics? It upsets the system. So when the reporting connects issues to a wider issue, and we can even bring in migration, I'm sure you may have heard that Zimbabwe, like many countries in Southern Africa, you know, people migrate to other countries and even far off countries, looking for, you know, better livelihoods, looking for better, you know, opportunities, and so on. So if we then show that if this crisis is not dealt with, we then have, it's connected to other issues globally, I'm sure this will also catch the attention of the wider audience.
So you mentioned this news fatigue, which is definitely there. I mean, I've experienced that also in Germany, that a lot of both like news consumers, but also the media outlets, they say they can't deal with so many crises. So maybe is there a way to talk about crises in a more constructive way, to maybe find positive stories within the crisis, to make the people feel less hopeless and less frustrated? And maybe do you have any examples of Zimbabwe like showing, I don't know, good examples how to deal with this crisis?
I'm always advocating for changing the narrative. You know, we have so many sad faces around, and what we need to do is really, you know, one example that is really worked is to amplify the local voices that we have, and even amplifying the local leadership that we have. You know, we have so many community-based actors and so many leaders within the community who understand the context. You know, when we have an international perspective, try to speak about a local, you know, crisis, they may then use those big words that remove the human face from it. But if it is the communities themselves speaking about it, you know, they have been there, they understand the context, they stayed when others left. They are part of the solution, and they can actually speak credibly about the needs there and the solutions there. You know, this seems to have created more attention than having someone at a higher level speaking. So if we share the stories from those directly affected, you know, we say, let's give them the mic. Let's give them the microphone. It makes such a big difference. And the other thing is, you know, audiences are different. Some prefer hard evidence. Others really would like to have the human angle. And with others, they want a collection of both. So if we can strengthen, you know, the data that we have, you know, it helps, because people are tired of giving and giving, assisting and assisting without really seeing the results. So what they want is the data to show how did this assistance help. So let's use the evidence, and because this helps to drive action. For others, let's find the human angle. Let's put faces to the statistics, not just faces, but show that so many people, you know, let's share the personal stories. You know, we know people say we have heard these stories, but when you listen to the stories on the international media, the moment you see someone speaking from experience, it's always different. It's always unique. You can then easily connect to, you know, to the people. So that also, us being human, we feel connected. And when we add, you know, what can be done, then whoever is listening feels that they have power. They feel that they are connected, you know, to do something about it.
So I think like one important topic also is like freedom of press and accessibility of countries. So I think Zimbabwe is quite accessible for journalists. But when we look, for example, at Central African Republic, ranked on first place in the report, is a good example for a country which is just like unsafe and difficult to access for journalists. So I think like from my perspective as a journalist, this is like maybe like the biggest reason why some countries and crises are underreported. Mm-hmm. Maybe to play the ball back to you, why would you think that reporting, on the other hand, is so important to solve the crises? And maybe then also like maybe it's a reason for the country's governments to make their countries more accessible.
Yes, you know, reporting is important because this is how people access information. They access information from the media. And, you know, all of the world, we now see, because everyone has a smartphone, everyone can record. At times it's difficult really to ascertain whether this is true, or maybe it's false news, so to speak, or fake news. So for me, having, you know, trained press, trained members of the media, accessing crises is very important, because we know we will get, you know, balanced information, checked out facts. So I think, yes, it may be difficult for some countries, you know, to get access for the press. For Zimbabwe, it's not really a big problem. But how about we find ways around it for those countries that have challenges? How about working with the local media, for example? Can international media maybe link up with the local media to ensure that there is still that voice, that local voice still comes through the local media, so that, you know, the crisis can be escalated or it can be shared. So yes, for me, reporting is very important, and we need to find ways to ensure that, you know, crises are reported and that they get the international attention that it deserves.
Maybe to come to a more constructive end, what makes you optimistic that both the reporting will increase maybe in the next year, but also the crises may be solved, or like the impact will be reduced within 2026, so the ranking might look a little bit better in the next year?
If the crises are reported more, or what does that mean? It means that, you know, there is more recognition on the crisis. There is, you know, more political will, because people know, you know, there are funders who fund because they've heard about it on the news. It's in international media. So it will also, you know, open doors for those resources and recognition that we have this crisis there. And if we have more, you know, reporting, we get increased global solidarity. As we were highlighting earlier on, we have more of the climate-related crisis than, you know, the conflicts on the current this year's list. So this will make everyone realize that, you know, climate issues are a global issue. They have affected so many countries. Of course, we have those that are reported more than others. But if we add the underreported one, then the world may then sit down to come up with a solution. We want the push right now is to address causes of the climate crisis, because what's happening at the moment is we are just focusing on the symptoms. So if there is that recognition of many of the crises, we categorize them, we see how many are conflict related, how many are climate related. This is just a beginning. We then find, you know, solutions out of it. So the other thing, if I may add, Julian, is that for the media, it's also important to show both sides, you know, what is happening, but also the brighter side of it. Can we also highlight a bit of hope and some impact, so that, you know, people don't disengage because they feel powerless? If we can then show where, you know, there is some tangible difference on where things have been done differently, then I think we may find people re-engaging, knowing that there is hope, since there is impact somewhere.
So viel von Charlene. Den ganzen Bericht von CARE findet ihr natürlich in der Folgenbeschreibung. Dazu noch ein paar andere Links zu Berichterstattung, zum Beispiel von mir aus Malawi. Da könnt ihr auch gerne nochmal in die vergangene Folge reinhören. Ganz lieben Dank fürs Zuhören. Das war der Jahresauftakt mit 55 Countries. Bis zum nächsten Mal. Euer Julian. Ciao.